the climate impact from the domestic housing stock here in the UK, both about saving energy bills, about creating some better and warmer homes, and also of course reducing the emissions from our homes. I'm from an organization that's actually a cooperative called Retrofit Works, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with us, but we are working down in Sussex currently. The basic, you could say, idea with Retrofit Works is that we are this multi-stakeholder cooperative who are both owned by community groups, who we call advocate members, and then we are also owned by local contractors and other building professionals, something we call practitioner members. So we are trying to solve the retrofit challenge by bringing together various groups. It's also including local authorities who wants to get started with the retrofit. So in order to reduce for in general, councils might have fuel poverty targets as well. A lot of community groups have that as well. But a lot of people care a lot about the climate as well, trying to reduce the emissions from our homes for that reason. We are these members are basically shareholders. So it is we are a registered society where you get voting rights if you are a member. As well. Right now, the cooperative is doing both grant-funded activities, and then we're also trying to do something that's actually directly related to normal homeowners who would be able to buy retrofit measures themselves. Naturally, it might be that they needed to remortgage or do something if they are renovating the entire house. But we are trying to really encourage people to do something about the homes that they're living in. It's called the Warmer Sussex, the scheme we have down in Sussex, and it's developed together with the Citizens Advice Bureau in Chichester and another cooperative called BESCO, Brighton and Hove Energy Service Cooperative in Brighton. And we're working together trying to make it as easy as possible for homeowners to actually figure out what to do with their homes. I think it's rather unique what we are the way that we are operating and trying to fit this hole in the market. We only know of other organizations who do bits and pieces, and none of them who actually try to run it in a cooperative way like we do. The organization in itself, Retrofit Works, is a not-for-profit, but our members are, you could say, normal businesses. So the practitioner members, it's your normal plasterers, and it's your normal solar PV heat pump installers who we try to educate on what measures might they be able to learn how to install, and if they're already in the heat pump business, they are of course quite aware of what they do. A key member set is also what we call retrofit coordinators, and retrofit coordinators is something that's it's a relatively new invention, but their main role is to act as an independent advisors to homeowners in order to act as a link between the homeowner and contractors when you're getting both when you're getting advice on what retrofit measures that you actually need, and it's also doing the process. So it's a standard called PAS 2035, where if you get a retrofit measure installed, then a retrofit coordinator should really be in place to help you as a homeowner, so you don't, you could say, confronted with some tough selling techniques by contractors, and the advice that you're also getting is from someone who knows a lot about retrofit and who knows a lot about retrofit from various measures, because some contractors might specialize in a specific measure. So when they if they visit your house, they naturally try to sell you that measure and might only try to sell you that measure, which might not be the thing that you actually need for your house. in order to reduce the emissions from it, or reduce your fuel bills, given what your focus is on. The I prepared a small poll, which I think Helen is just going to launch, because I'm very, very keen to figure out a bit about you as a group, both what kind of heating that you're actually doing with your home, and what kind of measures you might already have in place. So Helen, can you try and...
Hey, I can try it. So this is an experiment, guys, and if it falls over, well, you'll have to forgive us, but it's the first time we've tried using the poll. So it should show up on your screen in a moment, and I think you just vote accordingly. Can everyone see that okay?
In the bottom of the screen, about, you know, all the icons, there should be one popped up that's called polls. If you click that one, then you might be able to see it as well.
I'm just going to try.
It's showing actually as a result.
Okay, I'm just going to relaunch it. So relaunch the poll. Okay. Yeah. So try it. Is that come up? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So go ahead. Submit your...
It's for me, Helen. I don't know about anyone else. It's actually showing as a zero result. It worked when we trialed it, didn't it? Is it showing for other people?
Once you voted, then I'll share the results on it. So, no, it's question two, there's a little spelling error. How far is your home, not hoe, on its retrofit journey?
I can't get question two.
Okay.
I can only get question one.
I can't see it, and nor can
it's
me.
Gone.
I don't know. For me, it's actually just showing the poll, but zero results. But I'm a host, so it's asking me if I want to relaunch it.
Okay. So, wait a minute.
It worked when we trialed it. It's typical, isn't it? Technology.
It might be that you could answer both of the questions before clicking submit if someone didn't see anything on question two. That might be...
Question two just disappears, and I can't get the poll at all now.
Have we got a decent amount of... Otherwise, we're going to try out with the little reactions that people can put up there. Instead.
So why don't we we'll share the results and see what we've got. Okay, nothing at all. So relaunching it and just see what happens this time. Okay, so see if it comes up this time for you.
Oh, there we go. That's it. We're there.
Okay. If you don't mind just voting again and we'll see. This is
we're about to have, we've stalled it because of this these grants, but we're about to have heat pump. What do you want me to think? Currently oil?
Yeah, put in what you currently have, and
Is everyone seeing both questions now? So, should we end the poll? Anyone else still waiting, or?
As long as we got a decent amount of replies, then we have a bit of data to speak from.
Okay, so I'll share the... Can you see the results, sir?
Yes, I see that we got zero heat pumps, and we got 90% gas, which is pretty much how it actually is on the national average levels, and 10% oil. And then we got nearly half actually has a decent amount of insulation, and 14% have various stuff. It's probably solar. It's been quite popular, and good thing, a lot of people are hoping to start soon. I also gathered from the, what is this about? That was a good one as well. Because of course we can talk about that as well. Perhaps to the, what is this about? Well, retrofit, what does it mean? it's probably a bit of a technical term. Low carbon refurbishment, it might be a way of understanding it. It's basically all kinds of insulation measures, trying to put in some heating source that doesn't use as much energy. And it can also be putting in measures that can generate energy. So solar PV on your roof, for example. But happy to see that a lot of people got something going and a lot of people are thinking about getting something going. And just to, from the Zoom chat, I can also see that a lot of people are renting, and that's a tricky one. I'm a tenant as well, and there's not a lot you can do necessarily as a tenant, because it's one of these areas from a political point of view where we're really stuck with, well, the landlord basically pushes on the utility bill, and they just don't necessarily care a lot about the environment. So there's a lot of private tenancy where not a lot is happening. Same thing for me. I think I live in a EPC level E, which means that it's not very energy efficient. And I have both quite a high gas and electricity bill, and due to that also do quite a bit of emissions. But I guess it sounded like most people actually are homeowners on the call. The interesting, to start with the first question, that we have 90% gas. That's a really interesting one, because I think nationally, probably around 80-something percent of the UK that's actually heated by gas grid. And heat pump technologies, which is might be something that a lot of people is interested in learning about, is a way to basically heat your home in another way. There are various ways to do it, and there are various types of heat pumps. And I think this is probably one of the key measures that there will that we will be working a lot with, because people actually want another energy source. Just to perhaps say what it is very briefly, it basically runs electricity, a heat pump, and nowadays it's able to run on most conventional radiators as well. Early on, they are more efficient if you have larger radiators or underfloor heating and a well-insulated house. But they are getting better heat pumps more on the market as well. So more and more homes can actually use the heat pump technology. But in general, as 50% of you already have, it's very, very good to think about reducing the space heating demand of your home through various insulation measures. And to speak a bit more about how you could say the people who already got a lot going and the people who want to learn how to get started, it's probably a bit of advertising, but the scheme that we have down in Sussex is called Warmer Sussex, and it's put in place for people like you actually to get started on the journey. Because a lot of time people are asking, well, where can I get advice? I don't know what to do. It's very hard to find contractors. All these things, the idea is that Warmer Sussex should be able to help people with. So the advice that you get there is from a cooperative. So it's a not-for-profit organization. And the advice that you will receive is also from the retrofit coordinator, who is an independent person. So it's not a person who is employed by the company who's going to sell you the heat pump or install the heat pump. So if you're a bit in doubt, okay, what kind of insulation should I get? This is the expertise that you will actually be able to access. The Warmer Sussex it's quite easy to get started on. And then of course, it's always a big thing to actually get real innovation and real installing done in your home. But the first step in our process is basically to figure out what does your home look like and what are the suitable measures for your home to reach net zero. So we make what we call a whole house plan. And some of you might have heard about it as building passport as well. It basically is a very advanced EPC modeling, where you get a lot of measures and how they work together and how they might be able to reduce the emissions and the energy bill from your home, and how you can reach net zero. This whole house plan is based on an assessment which is done by a retrofit assessor or a retrofit coordinator. Most often it's the same person. And then the retrofit coordinator also has a discussion with you in case you have some special requirements. People tend, if they're doing a whole house retrofit, there might be a loft conversion at the same time, or they're thinking about doing an extension or something third. And the retrofit coordinator puts you in contact and do this liaison if you need an architect. And if you need, if you're setting the bar high and want, for example, a passive house standard home, which means that it's very energy efficient, you might need thermal search, air tightness testing, things like that. The retrofit coordinator will help you with these things. Once you then got your whole house plan, you then get a rough estimation of what's it going to cost, and it's packaged in different ways. So it might be that you want to start out with improving the insulation that you have. So it might be new windows, better ventilation in order to reduce damp, insulation work as well. Both can be, depending on your house, external wall, internal cavity. That's been the retrofit coordinator ensures that it's actually doable for your house. The next step after this advice stage is then that the retrofit coordinator, because it's a technical person, he or her is actually able to make the what we call a building performance specification, outlining to a contractor what your home needs. And then you're going to receive quotes from contractors who are also members of the cooperative. And then, well, why shouldn't you just go to any contractor? Technically, you can do this with the business performance specification, but our idea is that all the contractors who are member of our cooperative also have a very good quality standard. So we actually vet them, and there are a lot of, you could say, rules that they need to comply with, how they engage with customers. Things like hard selling techniques are not allowed in the cooperative. And we also try to put in a lot of, you could say, consumer protection measures. One of them is known as an escrow service. And that's another bit of technical financial term. It's basically a safe deposit account that you can use when you pay your contractor. So you don't necessarily have to put down a lot of deposit, and you might not know when is the work done and when is the work done properly. Then you just put the money into this safe deposit account on a third party service. And then when the retrofit coordinator has signed off the work, so when the independent person accepts that now what the contractor promised you, the contract you have with the contractor, when that is done, then the money is being released, and not before that the retrofit coordinator says it. And finally, the retrofit coordinator will make a final model that basically tells you about how the different measures installed in your home works. And that's, of course, very much up to what kind of things you actually ended up installing. Is it heat controls? Is it a heat pump? Solar PV, or what have you invested in? From a business perspective, it's good household economics to retrofit your home. It's depending on how much you're using, it might not be a clear-cut business case that you're not necessarily being able to go down to the bank and say, I'm gonna make money on just saving energy. It takes longer than what you might expect. It's very depending on the measure, but it might take 7 to 10 years before you save enough on your energy bills to pay for a whole house retrofit. But that's probably also just one of the reasons why you should be doing it. The main reason why we are doing it is because that, we're not doing too well on climate change, and we need to do a lot more. And here in the UK, we are talking about 27 million homes that needs to be retrofitted in order for the UK to achieve net zero. So we need to get started, and we basically need to get started as soon as possible. So that's why we are very happy that we actually have a model that we can offer in Sussex. because it's not everywhere we are able to do this. And it's so it's also a bit, we really want people to spread the word, a bit like I can see it sounded like perhaps half of the people here on the call are also part of various community groups who also have a network who can spread the word. We'll be very interested in you joining the cooperative, but we will be just as interested in you actually. Well, one thing is retrofitting your own homes, but also spreading the word that there is actually a mechanism in place right now. Because the conclusion when you make a retrofit strategy in a community group is our experience is often it would be really, really good if we had some sort of independent delivery mechanism that could quality control the local tradespeople, that could train them, ensure the jobs and skills are in the community. And that's actually what we have in Sussex right now. So we have it in Sussex, and we also have it in Oxfordshire, where it's called Cozy Homes Oxfordshire. And we'll soon have it, very soon, 2 weeks in London. And Tom Brack, who was supposed to talk here at the meeting, we are actually working with him of getting it up and running in Cambridgeshire as well. So we are spreading out, but Sussex is one of the places where we are actually able to do it. So we hope to help as many people as possible, because at some point, if no one uses the service from the cooperative, then it's not going to be able to run around. It runs on a grant right now, and it's basically all of our rations is in some way paid by taxpayers. So it might be the councils who are paying for it, it might be central government, but in order for it to reach enough people, we need to be able to run it as a not-for-profit business that runs around. And if it goes really well and the income flushes in, well, then we can reduce the cost of homeowners using it, or we can use the money to get into new areas. And that's a bit of the idea about the cooperative. What we are going to do with the extra money that we potentially have is up to the members. So if your community group joins us as an advocate, well, you actually have a say in what should we do with this money that we might get. I think I would also like to have a bit of a Q&A session. So now I've been speaking for roughly 20 minutes, I think, with the poll as well. So I'll just...
I think we've got, thank you, Soren. That was a brilliant overview. I know, I think you're at the airport at the moment, aren't you? So
So I actually just managed to get to a house. So
excellent. Heading for home. Mila, you had a question, I think, didn't you? Would you like to come through and ask the question? Is Mila still here?
And Kate was asking about landlords retrofit, which I think is quite interesting. Don't know if Kate wants to.
Kate, do you Mila want to go? Maybe Mila's dropped out. I can't see her, actually. Kate, do you want to ask your question?
Yep, hello. Hi, I'm here. Hi.
Hi.
If you've got a landlord that would like to do retrofit, but he's asked you to investigate and do initial surveys on what would be the best step forward, what would you need from the landlord to give us kind of approval for you to actually come and have a look at the premises?
We work down in Sussex right now. There's one landlord who is actually already working with us. So it's really good that some landlords are thinking that they also should be doing something. It's basically if you send us an email, then we can take it there, because normally people can just, you know, if you're a homeowner, you just go to the website and sign up. But of course, if it's a landlord, they might own, I don't know, 10 buildings, something like that. And they would perhaps like to have a whole house plan for each of these buildings so they can figure out what to do. But if you send us an email, then we can start speaking with the landlord and set up the first bit, which is to make the survey and assessment, so we can make a whole house plan.
Okay, what if your landlord is actually not in the country?
I don't think it's a problem.
Would that be okay through emails and things like that?
Yes.
Yeah, because I know a lot of landlords would like to have just a package shown to them and say, this is what we can do to improve your house stock.
Yes. And that is, I think that, you know, that's exactly what the whole house plan is going to spit out. If it's a major landlord, then we might want to, instead of making 10 whole house plans, we might want to bundle it into a portfolio, but that's also possible.
Also, I was just thinking, I live in a terrace house. If there are several houses that want to look as a block, have you done a project like that? So like me, myself and my neighbours either side would want to do some retrofitting. Have you ever treated a whole project
We only done like a block of flats basically. Okay. So when it was one owner, but it wouldn't, you could say from a contractor's point of view, it wouldn't matter a lot. It would just be, it might even be easier if you came together and said, okay, well, everyone is getting this external wall insulation. So let's get the money together, and then we can just get one contractor at a better price. One thing I perhaps forgot to mention is that when you then decide what kind of measure you most likely want to buy based on the rough cost estimation, you could say your project is sent out to three different contractors. So there is a bit of price competition between the members as well. But all of them, because of this quality vetting, it's not a race to the bottom for the contractors. So there are no, undercutting contractors in our membership. But there are competition, so you're not necessarily getting something that's very expensive, basically to ensure value for money for you as a homeowner.
Thank you. I was just going to ask, because you work with some county councils as well, do you have their contractors? So I know they have a supply of contractors that do work for them. Are they also part of your group to select from if they pass these trade tests?
We only use our own members, but chances are that they might overlap. I think the one we work most with is East Sussex County Council, where we are doing a lot of their warm homes checks as well. I wouldn't know if they have a preferred list, you know, if the same company goes on both lists, but it's only members of our cooperative that we work with and tend to work to.
Mark, do you want to ask about your the different prices for electricity at different times and how that affects the heat pump question?
Yeah, hi, Soren. I looked at this a little bit, and perhaps I'm wrong, but I got the impression that moving to heat pump won't reduce your costs. It might be good for the environment, but now there are different energy providers, electricity providers, that do cheaper electricity at certain times of the day, which works in the favour for the cost argument.
Yes.
Is that a key point or not? I'm not sure.
It's a very good key point, and it's one of the reasons why it's probably going to be more, it's going to be cheaper. If we just look at overall, then it's gas is one of the cheapest ways to heat your house as of now, but and it's also historically been a relatively green way of doing it. But because the UK grid is becoming so green that it's very rare that they actually need to use coal to produce the electricity, it's a good idea with the heat pump from a climate point of view. If you also have some energy generation like a solar, and then it's probably also starting to be a bit better business case for you because you don't have to buy as much electricity. But the changing tariff is a very good point, and it's something that so because we don't sell any measures directly, it would be the members who, you know, they might be selling a heat pump solution that enables people to use a mixed tariff. So I think one of the companies that's probably furthest on it is Octopus Energy, where I saw, because they have a half an hour tariff for some of their consumers, you were actually able to make money by using electricity at one point during the night, in order, because it's also about balancing the grid. And there are a lot of companies who are starting to produce products like this, and that can be purchased through the cooperative. From a specific heat point of view, one of the most interesting solutions I've seen is that when you put in a thermal battery or thermal storage unit together with your heat pump. So it's something, it's basically salt, So it's not something that can create any damage. It can't really overheat or explode or anything. It's just salt, where when you take it from it, it's from fluid to a more rock form, it can store heat, it can release heat. So you can use your heat pump during the day when the tariff is low. And then when the tariff is expensive, it's typically after 4 o'clock, because that's when everyone turns on the electricity. Then you don't have to use the heat pump in that time. Then you just use the heat from your thermal storage unit to heat your home. It's a very smart combination, and I think a lot of producers are. I already know a handful of producers, so you can get that in your whole house plan. But a handful of producers who make various. They also have battery solutions that can balance the grid as well. You can buy something as a service. And more of these producers and manufacturers are launching products. And as new technologies come, our hope is, of course, that some of the installers of the products will join the cooperative. So it's going to be easier to get.
Sorry, can I ask, what do you mean by a thermal storage unit?
So it's basically a box. That is able to produce the heat when, let's say, at noon. So the heat pump runs during the day when the electricity is cheap. And then it stores the heat in an efficient way. So it's way more efficient than storing it as hot water in a hot water tank. So you store it in salt instead. And then when you need the heat, then the salt can be used to produce the heat in this unit. It's the boxes I've seen it's something that probably looks like the gas boiler that most of you have, that they, depending on the manufacturer, can fit in different ways.
So can you use that? Because we're hoping that in September, which would be nice if you mention about the grants, we're hoping in September to have this air source. It was supposed to have gone in a few weeks ago, but Mitsubishi hadn't made this air source heat pump. So yeah, hopefully we might be able to take advantage of the grant in September. So is this a thermal storage unit something you can use with an air source?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
And as of now, I don't think we have anything in the whole house plan as a fully ready, but the heat pumps and everything like that's ready. And it's also because there's not that much in the UK, actually. So as my name might show, I'm originally from Denmark. And there's a lot more manufacturers who offer these solutions in Denmark. And, you know, when I'm Googling around, I can see that more and more of the producers and the installers in the UK are also starting to offer it. But it's basically, yeah, one kind of a measure that might help making the heat pump cheaper to run. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, the Green Homes Grant, I can just say a few words on it, as in literally a few words, because we don't know anything. So just keep in mind that everything you've heard and all the people who's been past knocking your door, giving you flyers, they don't know anything either. They don't know what it's about, and it's not settled yet, simply. So hopefully we will be able to communicate something once it is, how it can be used. It's hard to imagine that you will not be able to use it together with Warmer Sussex, but we don't know anything yet. And it's these government schemes have a history of, you could say, spiking a demand for poor workmanship, because a lot of things need to be done in a very brief time period. So what we are really hoping is that you still ensure that you don't then buy some quick insulation that's not necessarily going to fix your house, because a standard issue that often sometimes happens, if people buy a single insulation measure without making a plan and having someone professional to assess their house, they might get mold, because they don't install sufficient ventilation measures as well. And this is the retrofit coordinator and the whole house plan is put in place in order to avoid these situations. But we don't know anything yet.
Pat has got a question. Do you want to ask it, Pat?
Yes, it's just about what could you do to retrofit an old-fashioned terraced house that's only got a single skin brick wall? Because I live in a nice little cosy maisonette and I've got cavity wall insulation, but how would you retrofit an old-fashioned house?
A very hard question to answer without seeing it, but there are a lot of the older ones seems to get the internal wall insulation. So you put up something on the inside, because a lot of the older houses also look very nice. So people might not want external wall insulation. So it differs to the house specifics. But in general, if you have something that you don't want to put anything on the outer walls, then internal wall insulation can be done.
But a lot of the rooms are very small. And how much space does internal wall insulation take up?
If it's very small rooms, it would really depend on house to house. And I'm not the technical expert of this, I'm afraid to say, but it's something that the retrofit coordinator can help you with to figure out what's actually doable. Because it might be that, yeah, but if you say it's a very small house, very small rooms, not feasible, it might be that, well, this house, it's only a certain level of insulation that it's actually possible to do. So there will be a larger space heat demand in that home compared to all other homes, basically.
Okay.
Joanne, would you like to ask your question?
Yes. Thanks, Soren. Great initiative. How do we start on the journey? What's the first step with you, and how much should we budget for that?
Yes, so it's the first step is to get the whole house plan. Right now, it's £200. So when you sign up and you get contacted by either CAF from Warmer Sussex or probably Arthur from Warmer Sussex, and then assign you a retrofit coordinator. Who is then going to be your point of contact going forward. And that includes the survey assessment of your home. And if there are someone who wants to perhaps just get started but are very anxious about COVID, they do remote service right now as well. But because to make a real whole house plan, the retrofit assessor needs to be visiting your home and actually see what your house is like to understand it. But this you all get for 195. The next step is then very, very individual how much that is going to cost, the building performance specification, and if you need any design drawings done. That's basically up to what you need. It's not something that you probably don't need it if you are just figure out that you want to buy solar. You might not need it either if you figure you just want a heat pump, if you already got a nice insulated house. But so it's a hard step to budget for all the technical specifications and getting the quotes as well. Rough number might be £600, depending on what tests that needs to be done. And then what do you need for your home? That is very impossible to say, but what I can say is that the average projects in Oxfordshire, which is the one where we have most data, is £25,000 for multiple meshes. So that's something that's really going to retrofit your home. We have quite a lot who is budgeted at around £50,000, but the average one is right now at £25,000. So then, of course, the £200 and the other is going to be a very, very small part of your investment in it.
Sure. Thank you very much. And one quick final question. Ground source or air heat pump, which are you recommending at the moment?
It depends. So we are actually rather agnostic to it. So it's the performance. The software basically calculates based on all the data on your house what can be recommended. And of course, it's also a bit on your budget. So the ground source tends to be more expensive. You also need more space to fit it in most often. And then the running cost tends to be lower. But if you have a budget to install it and you're really doing a good planning, then it might be a good idea. But I think most heat pumps in being installed the last year is probably air source heat pumps. So I'm not for or against any of them. It can be both. It's up to your house, which the retrofit coordinator will help you with.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Simon, did you have a question? I have captured, I think there's a few of you that got questions. Simon?
Yep. My question is, how much energy can you practically store in a salt thermal store in kilowatt hours?
Yes. I'm afraid I can't really answer that because it depends on how big it is.
So well, it does, yeah. But are we talking 10 kilowatt hours or 100 kilowatt hours or 1,000?
Well, you will be able to store enough in order to produce. So all the heat that you will probably need for 12 hour in something like that. But it's, well, yeah, it's very cold, then it's going to run out sooner, and the heat pump needs to start using electricity early on.
Okay.
So, yeah, right, I'm afraid, yeah. I don't have a good answer for that.
Mike, you had a question, I think, didn't you? Do you want to ask it? Is Mike there?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Had trouble unmuting. I was in the middle of typing a question. So the first question was regard with retrofitting and the risk that the retrofit won't actually be compatible with what you'd need to do to get to zero carbon. Thinking of zero carbon as being a 2050 UK requirement overall. So does the whole house assessment look at that sort of future target?
Yes, that is the it's the very idea that we actually sell the whole house plans first before any measures, because otherwise the risk of locking your home into something that's not going to help you a lot on the net zero is quite high. And it's also the main reason why we're really advocating it to the government that, well, these plans needs to be in place for our home in order not to install a measure that's not going to really help in the long run. So the whole house plan is all the different measures that's recommended in the whole house plan. It's going to tell you how much will the impact be on your estimated fuel cost, how much will it be on reductions in CO2, and how much will it give on your SAP score, which is this your energy performance certificate that most of you probably have on your homes. How many points will you increase on this ladder? So those three measures are you going to get. So if you see a modern gas boiler might give you a nice fuel cost reduction, but it's not going to give you as much on CO2 reduction.
Is that okay, Mike? Thank you. Ruth, I think you had some questions, didn't you?
Oh, thank you. Yes, sort of following on from Mike and on the assumption that we're looking at doing something that's fairly radical here, I really was just trying to see whether you could give us a feel for the sorts of houses we've got in Horsham. Lots of, you know, Victorian 60s, you know, interwar and so on. What are the different sorts of interventions that realistically we're looking for different types of houses? We've mentioned the ground and air source heat pumps. What sorts of insulation? Because internal wall insulation, external wall insulation, they're very invasive. Big deal to how the house operates. What about the ventilation? Can you just give us a feel for what you're expecting?
Yes,
at the end of this.
It's because the housing stock is so diverse, it's probably all kinds of measures that needs to be installed. So if we look across, so in Oxfordshire, where the most homes have got plans, it's around a third on cavity, around a third on external, around a third on internal. So it's all kinds of measures, almost all of them. I think 80% is extra ventilation. And then as of now, last time I checked, it was around half of them who also wanted to install a heat pump. But that's also up to, you know, the budget of people, because it's how much work are they planning to do in the first go. We recommend people to set out really a plan, and also to figure out how to finance it. On the ventilation and heat recovery, it's a measure that might often be a good idea as well, especially, so it's what the passive house standard always use this, of course, because then you have extremely little, you know, your space heat demand is so small, because you have insulated your home to a very, very significant degree. And in order to keep the ventilation going and not just keep on heating, the heat recovery is a good way of doing it. I haven't seen too many in Oxford where this is the most applicable measure that they are looking for. It's more heat pumps and insulation work. Most of them also do windows and doors in order to get the general fabric fixed.
I think Mike probably has one last question. Then we should be letting Soren go, because I think he's trying to get away on holiday, aren't you?
No, it's okay. I actually just sent the wife off to the beach, so I said that I'll join later. So I don't have a car waiting for me anymore.
Okay, so Mike, do you want to ask the last question?
Thank you. Air source or ground source heat pumps, really. As a former acoustics engineer, I'm always a bit worried about air source heat pumps from the fan noise perspective. But I've not personally experienced such things on high load. Based on sort of air conditioning in urban areas, I can't see a problem with the ambient with the effect on ambient noise. But in quiet rural locations, my feel is that they'll be significant in terms of being noticed against the ambient background. I just wondered what your experience was, particularly with Oxfordshire.
Well, our experience is that it's not a problem actually on the noise. And one of the things that I'll just try to advertise as well, if any one of you actually have something installed, it's a really good. Tom would probably have said the same, because it's about these eco open houses, trying to spread the word and what's your experience. From what I've heard, it's not a problem from people with heat pumps that they're really annoyed about the noise of it. And neither the neighbors.
Okay. I mean, I'm coming from the aspect of finding my neighbor's gas-fired boiler, which of course is fan-driven, irritating, but there you go.
We're surely, as I said, going to have a Mitsubishi. I can't tell you any more than the fact it's a Mitsubishi. And I'm told the one that we saw in the down in Chichester in Covers, the heating showroom. It's a pretty good heat air source heat pump and quite quiet, I am told. So I'll tell you, Mike, when it's in.
Looking forward to the site visit, Kerry.
Yeah, and the good thing about
I'll be part of the eco, the open eco home trail, which I think Alison, if she's still here, Alison's hopefully going to organise. Anyway, so I thank you so much, Soren, for a really, really informative. I think, you know, we've run to the end, but loads of questions, which is really, really good. I think there was a slide that Mark shared with me. I don't know whether you'll be able to see it actually. Oops. Which I found quite shocking. Mark shared with me a slide that basically illustrates, I'll share it with everyone, the home temperature loss after 5 hours across all of the countries in Europe and the UK. We are the worst. So we've got a lot of work to do.
But yeah, there's a lot of work to do, and it's of course well the reason the UK is the worst is probably because it was the first country to get rich and build homes for everyone. So when the rest of Europe started, as you know, there's a lot of pre-World War II buildings here in the UK built for coal heating. So you needed a bit of ventilation in order to survive that. A lot of the homes needs to get quite a lot of work done.
Mm. So we have to get to work across West Sussex and beyond. So thank you so much. We are now going to take a break after 20 events. We're not going to have our next event until Saturday the 5th, when Joanne, who's here with us today, is going to be speaking with Fliss about environmentally friendly